Let's go, take the points.
I think that should be the intro, Dan. Let's go, take the points. Yeah. We're here, week 10. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We are live, opposite Game 7 of the World Series. It's 1-0 Cubs currently trying to break the 100-whatever-year streak. Dan's got a bet on the under, which is looking strong to quite strong. Dan Partridge, live from Phoenix, Arizona on Skype. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. I'm fighting off a cold. I was sick earlier in the week, if you hear a little bit of a raspy voice. I'm not just practicing for my stint as a singer in Nashville. I've got a cold. I'm going to fight through it, though, Dan, like a true professional.
As you should, Tom. You're a man living in New England. This is what happens in October. It's November. Same thing. I'm ready to go.
Dan, I took a trip to our hometown of Syracuse, my hometown of Syracuse.
Oh.
Last weekend, you have disavowed it as a hometown, even though you lived there for 20 years. But October 28th, I drove up. We had 1.5 inches of snow in the capital region on my way.
Every time I used to leave UConn and go home to Syracuse for Thanksgiving, Christmas, random weekend, it always was fine when I left Connecticut and always snowed somewhere on 90. Just somewhere between the mountains in Massachusetts and Syracuse. Sometimes it would hit me early in Massachusetts. Sometimes it would wait until I'm on 690. Just wait till I'm like really close and they're like, hold on a second. Here's the snow that comes sideways and hits your car from an angle. So, yeah.
As I was driving, November Rain came on the radio and it's supposed to be this melancholy song. And I'm actually like, I wish we had November rain instead of this October snow, which is the big track on Use Your Illusion 3. Due out 2057.
Can't wait for Axel.
So I want to begin with a brief story today, Dan, if you'll indulge me. In 2006, I got a writing job. I worked for a music website and I wrote about music for about a year. After a year, this was a startup website and business was not going so well. And it basically devolved into a clickbait site. Now, this is in 2007. This is before the really peak era of clickbait listicles, your BuzzFeeds, your ClickHoles, etc. I was sort of the Reggie Jackson of bad list articles. I was ahead of the curve. But I would write these genuine lists. For example, I would, let's just say 60s folk singers, you know, the 20 best 60s folk singers. And you would list your favorites and the number one, of course, Bob Dylan. But at some point, my boss had this realization. We can purposefully misrank things and it will drum up more attention. So you would write this same list, 20 best folk singers of the 60s, and everything would be sort of in order. And then number two, Bob Dylan, and number one, you'd put, I don't know, Joan Baez. And you do this on purpose, even though it's clearly wrong.
Ridiculous.
And people would leave comments like, what's wrong with you? How could you think that? You're an idiot. But then we'd get 1 million page views. And you know, at whatever, 1 cent click through per 10 page views or whatever crappy rates we got back then, we'd make a lot of money for the site. Not enough to keep it in business ultimately, but we'd make some money. And so my boss was sort of an evil genius in this way. I had never thought about that. And he was sort of the first person to say, hey, you want to get more attention? You want to make more money, more ad revenue? Just rank things wrong on purpose. I mean, it doesn't really matter after all.
So true.
And so this brings us to week one of the college football playoff poll, Dan. Bama 1, Clemson 2, Michigan 3.
Yeah, it sounds right.
And obviously, Dan, the Washington Huskies have to be number 4 undefeated, leading the Pac-12, correct?
Yes.
Oh, not so fast, my friend. Texas A&M with their one loss at Alabama. So my theory is that the NCAA has done in 2016 what my boss urged me to do in 2007, which is, in a week that ultimately doesn't matter, why not just fuck with people and try to drum up some more attention for this, like, early November Tuesday night show that nobody cares about?
Completely right, Z, and that's exactly what it is. I was so mad when this came out for like a minute, and I text all of you and I said, please, NCAA, do not go NFL on me. But it's so true. I mean, yeah, Washington controls their own destiny. Everybody knows this, blah, blah, blah. NCAA just trying to get their name out there. Just please, just no one even pay attention to this. Let's just move on and not get roped in. I wake up to go to work this morning very early. I turn on my car. I'm heading to work. There's rush hour traffic somehow at like 5 in the morning. And sure enough, Sports Talk Radio, Mike and Mike in the Morning. Well, I think Washington still controls their own destiny. And I was like, oh, what excuse can I think not to go to work today? I just want to turn around. I can't do this today. Came up with nothing. We're still talking about it 12 hours later. So there you go.
It's ridiculous. They're doing it on purpose. They have adopted what I call the R. Kelly strategy.
Oh. Where,
well, there's two R. Kelly strategies.
Okay.
One of them works wonders. The other one is not recommended. The good R. Kelly strategy is sort of doing ridiculous things in order to garner attention in an age, 2016, or the whole 2000s, when attention is fleeting. So you do these crazy things and you get attention. Perhaps certain politicians or presidential candidates have adopted this strategy as well. It's a good way to get attention in this day and age when nobody has time for anything. So everybody ignore this. Washington still is the real number four. The other R. Kelly strategy, the bad one for those who are wondering, also known as the Sandusky strategy, is when somebody asks you a question where the answer is obviously no, and you give any answer besides no. So in the case of Sandusky, it was, do you like children, or do you love, what was it? Are you attracted to children? He goes, am I attracted to children? Well, I like children. No, no, Jerry, the answer is no.
No, stay away. That's a no.
When you say to R. Kelly, did you have a relationship with that 14-year-old? And he says, I don't have time to ID everyone in the club. The answer to that question is no.
That's also the wrong answer.
When I watched the Amanda Knox documentary on Netflix and they asked, did you murder that girl? And she said, people fear me because they believe that I could be them. I could be anyone. Amanda, the answer is no. Just no.
Two letters. Very simple.
Just all or take the points, listeners. If you're ever accused of something horrible and people ask you straight up if you did it, the answer is no. N-O. No other elaboration necessary.
Simple as that. Walk away.
Dan, are there any games from week 9 that you would like to talk about or recap, or shall we move right into the lines?
No.
There you go. See? Dan has avoided the R. Kelly strategy. So, we're recording on a Wednesday night. We begin with one that I think will go very quickly. That is Navy at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 6.5-point favorite. What a sad state of affairs for Notre Dame, Dan.
What a horrible year. You know, there were some people who picked them to win the national title. Obviously not us or anything. But no, I mean, seriously, people who I respect as college football cappers really made a good point for Notre Dame winning a national title. So, I mean,
I thought they were a New Year's Six team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real collapse. It's not even just like, well, a little bit of an off year. I mean, complete, utter mess. In 5 years, it'll be interesting to see how many players from this team are in the NFL, and it's not going to be a small number like two, I'll tell you that much. So, bad year. They're favored by less than a touchdown to Navy, who's lost to South Florida this year. So, it's a mess. Completely stay away.
Number four, Texas A&M, -14 at Mississippi State. Mississippi State doesn't seem to have the firepower to hang with the SEC West this year.
No, because they had a really, really elite quarterback and no one paid attention to it. A&M should take care of business. Be careful though. It's a, a road SEC game. Probably a look ahead for A&M. Be careful, but maybe a first half line and get out of there, or maybe, wait and see if Mississippi State scores early and get a live bet in there. But it's just really hard to lay more than 14 on the road in the SEC, even to Vandy or Kentucky. It's just tricky.
I just want to point out, to brag about myself for a moment, we had talked about, we have our ongoing text message that we said listeners can join for $49.95 a month between myself, you, and occasional guests, George Villali and Ryan Spillett. And Tony Romo went down in the preseason. Dak Prescott had not yet played a regular season game. And I have this in writing. I sent it to you guys. My prediction, Tony Romo would never be the starting Dallas Cowboys quarterback again. Dak Prescott would win the job ultimately. Looking good.
Hell yeah, looking great. Like Mississippi State was ranked number one, and there's no one else on that team good. And they were in the SEC, so it wasn't like they were playing, the like Mountain West Conference schedule. Something doesn't add up here, and it was the quarterback. So that's all I'm saying.
They lost a few other guys from that team, but not that much. I mean, they still have, if their talent level was an 8 out of 10 before, it's still a 6.5 or 7, except for Dak. And you see where that got them. So I like this game. I think Texas A&M at number 4, maybe they think they have a shot. I mean, of course, they think they have a shot, even though the rest of us know Washington should be in. So I think they're going to win this one big. Wisconsin -6.5 at Northwestern. Tricky.
Very tricky again. You got to lay a touchdown with a team that doesn't score a lot of points on the road against a team that doesn't give up a lot of points. Spread's probably right on. I don't think I can take Northwestern, though. I'd probably still lay it with Wisconsin.
I feel this is a stay away. I agree with everything you said, but I'm hesitant to take Northwestern because they're not quite good enough to be trustworthy this year, but I would not lay this. That's a dangerous spot for Wisconsin. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a very tight game or even a small possibility of an upset.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the other hand, Syracuse at Clemson -27. I do not think we'll be seeing an upset in this game, Dan.
No upset. You might see a shady backdoor cover, though. That's a lot of points to give to a team who's going to throw it, 55 times. So I can't bet it on Clemson. I think I do like the over, though. The over's in the 60s. Don't care. I expect this game to go very over in the 90s.
Clemson is coming off an emotional win against Florida State, and I think they realize at this point they control their own destiny. If they simply go undefeated, they'll be in the playoff. So, no real motivation to beat up on Syracuse. I
No.
think they welcome Syracuse in. They have a fun night for the fans. They win by what, 18 points or so, and they walk out of there still number two in the polls. So, stay away from this one. Unless
Agreed.
you're really adventurous and you want to bet on Syracuse.
Yeah, no.
Some people like to live on the edge.
Living on the edge.
Joe Perry lives on the edge. People who gamble on Syracuse, they also live on the edge. Scott Stapp lives on the edge.
Alicia Silverstone also lives in the edge, I believe, in that video.
There's a lot of people living on the edge, Dan. Maybe enough to push money towards Syracuse.
Okay.
Moving along, Georgia Tech +10.5 at North Carolina. Daniel?
No music, but this is gonna be the trap of the week. I don't think I've ever seen North Carolina win by more than 10, ever. Like, I know it's a little bit of a joke, but they just love playing to the level of their competition. They are like a full-on NFL team. They don't care. They're like, oh, good. Who we got this week? Florida State, Syracuse, whatever. We're gonna score 35 and give up 36. It doesn't matter. North Carolina is one of the most funny teams to pay attention to in the country. We do talk about it a lot. Sorry for being repetitive, but I can't see them covering. I'll take Georgia Tech in the 10.5 for sure.
Agreed. TCU at Baylor. What a great game this used to be.
Oh my God. It used to be a couple of years ago. It was amazing. Then there's some sanctions and some quarterbacks graduating and things like that. But I don't know. It's so hard to read these teams at this point. Like, I'm not confident laying points with Baylor. I don't know if these overs are coming in like they used to. For me, it's a total stay away. Like, I'm just confused with the Big 12 this year. Actually, I like a lot of the Big 12, but the teams we traditionally bet, I just don't like them this year whatsoever. It's already November, so we're done with TCU, we're done with Baylor. That's it.
Oh, there are certainly some gambling opportunities in the Big 12. For example, our next game is Texas and Texas Tech. Now, the line was off the board for some reason when I checked this earlier. I'm taking the over. It doesn't matter.
That's the correct analysis, Tom. I can tell you why this was off the books, but what's the point? Do you really want to know? Just bet the over.
Well, it didn't come in last week, Dan. It was a rare misstep by Texas Tech.
Well, it's not going to miss twice in a row, even without their running back out for the game. Who cares? Ooh. Moving on. That's going to 100. Next.
Who is your pick to win the Big 12?
I have no idea. I don't know what the standings are at this point.
Well, you've got West Virginia and Baylor tied with a loss. You have Oklahoma with one loss in conference. Or no, Oklahoma has no losses in conference. So I don't really
Probably
know how this is going to work.
it's a total mess. I would probably go with Oklahoma if they have a shot, but it's not good.
No, I think you can pencil them out of the playoff. Last week I
Absolutely.
said that you can't forget about Baylor or West Virginia, much like you can't forget about Dre. I think it's now fair to say that you still cannot forget about Dre, but you can forget about Baylor and West Virginia in terms of making the playoff. One of them could still weasel their way into the New Year's Six.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I do think Oklahoma wins the Big 12. They're undefeated in conference play. I
You know
think
what
they'll
I
get.
think would be a great matchup? Take the Big 12 winner. Ideally, for this scenario, ideally not Oklahoma, because Oklahoma has that sort of marquee powerhouse type talent. I would love to see someone like West Virginia or even a Baylor win that conference with one loss, get into the New Year's Six, and then have to play an undefeated Western Michigan team. We'll really see what that Western Michigan team's made of. Now, I know if Western Michigan has to go up against like Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, I don't see good things happening for them, but I do think they could pull an upset against like a West Virginia.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Completely agree.
So, if your goal is to get crazy Boise State-esque games in the BCS or the New Year's Six, I think a Baylor slash West Virginia against Western Michigan is your ideal game for, really having that underdog to root for.
Interesting.
Florida -5 at Arkansas. Florida has now taken the lead in the SEC East. Feels like a nice time for them to blow a game on the road.
I agree, Tom. This is standard Florida. This will be a game where they don't score any points. Like they'll score 13 and lose somehow. I really like it. Good call on
Money line, Arkansas. I'll be putting my money where my mouth is, betting the money line with Arkansas.
Brett Bielema.
14-13.
Not good.
Arizona at Washington State. Washington State, who would have thought they'd be favored by 17 over anyone, let alone a decent Arizona team from last year? This is your home state, Dan, so what do you got for us?
Arizona is horrible. I mean, can you believe that this line's that high?
No, I
It's
can't believe that Washington State. I mean, it works both ways. Washington State is better than ever, and Arizona's worse than ever. And these two worlds have collided to form a line that you never thought you'd see on Earth.
17's insane. It's hard to imagine. Lay it. Arizona's awful.
I was going to say the same thing. It's hard to imagine, and yet, you can't take Arizona.
No, not at all.
Dan, where do both Arizona programs go from here? Your thought of hiring Art Briles, I think, is out the window now with the recent allegations. Even at Arizona, I think he's got to be unhirable.
Yeah, you're probably right at this point. I don't know. Like, I think they need to kind of give up on hiring a big name and just get someone who actually really knows how to coach football and kind of, you know, organically grow the program, you know, in a way. I think, you know, Rich Rod and Todd Graham were semi-flashy names because they coached at colleges that most people kind of know as teams that have been good throughout the years. But I would personally be a lot happier if they hired, like, you know, the head coach of, say, a team like, I don't know, San Diego State or something like that, you know, who's
good call.
A little bit of a lower conference, but seems to always be really competitive, and see what he could do with a little more talent on the field. So something like that.
San Diego State is doing very well this year, and a lot of it's that is Donnell Pumphrey, who is an awesome running back if you haven't seen him, but a lot of it's coaching as well. I would add, we've seen with these conferences, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 especially, are, we've called them defense free. But you see the success of West Virginia as the one team that decided to play defense in the Big 12 this year. Oklahoma, when they decide to play defense, can really beat up on teams. Baylor, when they were great the last few years, it was because of their offense, but also because they had a better defense than anybody else in that conference. And similarly, we've seen the success of Utah, a program that shouldn't get the guys to beat like a USC or an Oregon or other teams. But they're doing it with coaching and defense. So my feeling is, if you're Arizona, you're Arizona State, maybe the best way to actually have a shot at the, at least the Pac-12 South, is to go defense. Like, when everybody's going high-powered offense, they zig, you zag. Get a guy who's just a great defensive mind and see if you can't win that way. I mean, you got nothing to lose. Can't get any worse.
Absolutely can't get worse, because both team defenses are just horrible across the board. So, yeah, maybe something like that, but it's time for a change. It's really bad. These are two teams in the Pac-12, and they're both horrible. So fix it, please, Arizona. I'd love to go to a great college football game.
Keep in mind, I am the guy who always says to everyone, if you're a lousy team and you're going to lose a lot of games, hire an offensive guru, because of, as we've seen with Dino Babers at Syracuse this year, if you're going to lose, it's, your fans will appreciate it a lot more if you're losing 47-42 instead of 13-10. We call this the Dino Babers versus Bob Diaco theorem. Both teams are losing, but one of them is exciting to watch and the other is horrible.
No conflict there, Tom.
No, UConn is not on my board. I think they're playing Friday night this week, so we're not going to talk about them.
They're still in their layover from last week, 2 weeks, whatever.
They're so bad.
Awful.
One day I would just love for them to be good again. We talk about this all the time, how the Fiesta Bowl of 09 never happened. And I say that it was a mass peyote hallucination we all had at the same time. But I've been thinking lately, Dan, what are the odds that the UConn 09 Fiesta Bowl was actually a part of Westworld?
Oh, wow.
Is it fictional dreamscape?
It's very possible. I started watching that a couple weeks ago or whatever. I watched the first two. I like it so far.
Does UConn make the Fiesta Bowl in that show?
I'm waiting for it. I think I saw it at the end of the preview for week 3. I'll let you know next podcast.
Those previews, you know, they never seem to be in context. But once you see the show and you see Dan Orlovsky throwing passes around, then it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a show recommendation for the folks, too. I just watched the new season of Black Mirror on Netflix. Top-notch quality shit. If you've never seen that show, if you've seen the British version, you'll love the new Americanized version. And if you've never seen it, I strongly suggest watching and starting with the latest season. I mean, these are standalone shows, so it doesn't matter what order you watch them in. But, man, the new season, 6 episodes, each one's an hour. Good stuff. This is better than any movie you'll see this year.
All right, maybe I'll check one out tonight. Good call.
If you're smart, you'll like it.
Oh, well, I'm out. Or watch cartoons and eat cereal.
No, you'll be good. But I mean, I don't know who listens to the show. There might be some like reality TV fans or whatever. If you're dumb and you are one of those people who says you like TV where you can just turn off your brain, then this is not the show for you. But if you like shows that make you think, where you utilize your brain, Black Mirror is the show.
Very nice.
That's another Tom's pick, Dan. Trademark. Kansas at West Virginia. West Virginia minus 34.5. Kansas is a terrible, terrible team as per usual. However, we talked about West Virginia being sort of the defensive mind of the Big 12. I feel that that's way too much to lay with them against even the lowly Kansas.
Yeah, I think it's a stay away.
Florida State minus 6 at NC State. Such a traditional trap spot for Florida State. However, coming off the Clemson game and losing, they might be motivated.
What a shady line. I mean, we've seen this line for years. It's always the same. It's between 14 and 21, depending on all the factors. I've never seen it this low ever. It's actually 5.5 in some spots right now, which is so incredibly dirty. I just can't pass it. I can't pass up on it. I know people said the same thing last week with Florida State, but I bet Clemson. This week I'll bet Florida State, minus 5.5.
NC State is good this year. This is always a trap spot for Florida State, and NC State's always mediocre. This year they're good. I know they got blown out by Louisville, but I think their performance against Clemson was more indicative of the talent of NC State than their blowout against Louisville. So I would be careful with this one personally.
I like it.
Ooh, speaking of difficult lines that make your heart hurt, Dan, your Oregon Ducks, your adopted team, once the incident happened at Penn State, they soared to such heights, and now they've fallen to such lows. They are a 17-point underdog at USC. By the way, I'd like to apologize to our listeners for one prediction I made last week. We were talking about USC-Cal, and I said, take the points all day with Cal. And I wasn't sure why the line was so high. Once I watched the game, I realized why the line was so high. First off, Cal is decimated by injuries. Their defense was not good to begin with. I think they're down to their seventh defensive back or something like that. So Cal is just, they're decimated, which we'll get to in a little bit. Also, USC appears to have found a very good quarterback.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
Sam Darnold.
DeArnold in the house.
His name seems like a typo, like a inappropriate autocorrect. Like it should be Sam D. Arnold or something. Or at least Sam DeArnold, D apostrophe Arnold, not just Darnold.
Darnold. Sounds a little bit French.
I feel like there's a missing period and or apostrophe.
Okay. We're going to look into that also for the next week.
But misspellings aside, he's a very, very talented quarterback, and I think this team is much more of a threat with him.
Agreed.
Any thoughts on this game?
You cannot trust Oregon right now. Mark Helfrich is not even paying attention to football at this point. I think he's just packing stuff at home. I don't think he's like, it's November. I got four more weeks to get paychecks. We're not even going to make a bowl. So, I guess there's a game. We're going to go to Southern California. I'm going to get some chicken and waffles at Roscoe's and then go to Amoeba, buy some vinyl, and then you guys play the game. So I don't think you can trust him whatsoever.
Helfrich, Rodriguez.
Oh.
It's the Akron Zips versus the Toledo Mud Hens. Tuesday night, MAC 2023. By the way, I know that Toledo's nickname isn't the Mud Hens.
No one knows that. You're the only one.
It's the Rockets. I know that.
I think that Helfrich has fucked up so bad, he can never be another head coach. Like, people realize that he inherited Oregon with that coolness factor and the Phil Knight money and everything, and literally did the worst job you could possibly do as a coach. I mean, what would be worse outside of like a horrible sexual scandal? I mean, as far as performance on the field, this is as bad as it can ever get. Oregon needs to blow it all up immediately. Just fire this guy and get him out of there. Even to have some coordinator, somebody else there, just get him out. This is so bad. I'm not giving up on my Ducks, though. I think I'm still going to remain a fan. I'm not going to be a fan for 1 month. Then I'll be fired and we'll talk. I'll be okay.
They still have the greatest facilities in America. With a decent coach, they could bounce back rather quickly. They still have a ton of talent, too. Helfrich is like, I hear a lot these days about Donald Trump, how everyone's like, well, he inherited, what, $20 million from his father. And yes, he's made some money, but, you know, he only did it because he got that money from his dad. Helfrich is like a guy who inherited $20 million from his dad and now is $50 billion in the hole.
Yeah, like even worse. Like even worse than when you started. I don't understand exactly what happened there, but it's a shame. I mean, I'm so mad about this, if you can't tell already.
He doesn't have the killer instinct, I think. I hate to say it, but coaching is like the one, well, not the one. There are many jobs where being a dick is rewarded, but none more so than college football coaching. And Helfrich, could he be just too nice to be a coach?
It's possible. And, you know, to be honest, this isn't all Helfrich's fault either. He's underpaid. If you look at his salary compared to what other coaches make, he's at the lower tier. And that's ridiculous for Oregon for how much money they get.
But wait, you can't be arguing that he should be making more money and that he'd try harder. Are you just saying they need a better paid, better coach?
Instead of spending, like, you know, $4 million on Helfrich, they should spend $8 million on, you know, one of the big guys. I mean, it's not that much of a difference. I mean, that's just pathetic. And not to cough that up. Call Phil Knight. He'll literally write you a check right now, like no questions asked.
Sumlin, Oregon. Make the call.
That would be amazing.
Iowa at Penn State. We'll be quick on this one. Penn State -7.5. People are very impressed at Penn State's blowout win against Purdue. I think this is a case of maybe let's all settle down a little bit. 7.5 is too much against Iowa. Now I have no faith in Iowa, and Penn State has looked good for a couple weeks, so complete stay away in my opinion. Don't think that just because Penn State is rolling for a couple weeks that they're just going to continue dominating teams. Iowa's defense is not Purdue's defense.
I'd like to thank the NCAA committee for putting Penn State 12th, which is beyond laughable. But I'm not even going to get into it.
Did they? Yeah. So part of me being busy with this event for work is that I have not done any research. Penn State is 12th in the playoff poll.
12th.
Ooh, Dan, they're not out of it.
No, they're not.
If Michigan loses to Ohio State, if Michigan can lose like one more game, Penn State could get in that. They could get in that Big Ten championship game.
It's actually possible. Like, I don't know if
they beat a top 10 Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. Playoff.
Here are the teams ranked after Penn State real quick, just for laughs. Which of these teams would beat Penn State on a neutral field? LSU, Oklahoma, Colorado, Utah, Oklahoma State, Art Briles' former team, Baylor Bears, Va Tech, West Virginia, North Carolina, Florida State, Boise State, Washington State.
I can't recall everyone you just said, but I'll take Penn State against Va Tech.
Yep.
I'll take my chances against Oklahoma State. Boise against Penn State talent would be a close one. I would not bet it, but, you know, I'd feel better than, say, Oklahoma. UNC, I mean, you always have a chance against UNC.
And, like, on the flip side, a couple losses this weekend, Penn State's real close. Teams in front of them, Florida, Nebraska, Auburn wins, Wisconsin. I mean, like, all three of them can lose. Penn State's going to be 9 come 8 come Monday morning. Can you believe it? 8.
So I think the statistic people are looking at to rank Penn State so highly is there's a new thing people look at, that who have you beaten and how many combined wins did they have? So if you've won five games and each of those teams has won five other games, your score is a 25. Penn State's score is a 30. That puts them fourth in the nation right now. I believe only like Alabama and maybe there's only three teams. I think it's Alabama, maybe Clemson and like West Virginia or something. But there aren't very many teams ahead of Penn State in that category. So that's why people think they may be legitimate. And scoring 62 against anybody, even if it is Purdue, is still helps. Pretty impressive. But
it does help.
Be careful, folks.
12th.
If they win, they're going to be in the top 10.
I know. Tom Z, if I would have told you Penn State top 10 BCS rankings,
I would have laughed.
James Franklin's going to be the new head coach of Arizona State, and I'm going to be like, fuck, how'd this happen?
I'll
be
Arizona gonna... State, Franklin's going to be the new coach at LSU the way he's going.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Could you imagine how hard Nick Saban would laugh if they hired James Franklin at LSU at his arch rival?
He would just, like, laugh so hard. When we do talk about the Alabama game, I have Nick Saban's story to tell America, but continue.
All right, two more games before we get to that. One is Nebraska at Ohio State. I think we're in agreement that Ohio State's going to win this game and that Nebraska will drop out of the top 10, clearing a path for Penn State. Is Nebraska even – are they in the top 10 still?
Yeah, they are number 10. Okay. Sir.
So that's one team that will clear out of the way for Penn State. We just need one more, Danny.
Florida. Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Florida's going to lose, too. Get ready, Dan. We're about to live in a world.
Next week, we're having a party, the Penn State Top 10 party. We're gonna talk all things 1994 next week. Get your piece of paper out.
Dan, in 1 week from today, we are going to live in a world where the Cubs are World Series champions.
Maybe.
We have the most disliked president of all time, either the first female president or the first
racist
joke president.
Yeah.
And Penn State will be a top 10 team.
It's the apocalypse.
With Trace McSorley at quarterback. Mm-hmm. One more horseman and we're good.
We're very close to the end of the world. One Kardashian sacrifice and Satan will merge out of the ground. And it's going to be all over.
Washington -16.5 at Cal. So I already touched on this one. Cal is decimated, especially in the secondary. I think Washington is absolutely going to destroy them this week.
I'll take your word for it. Cal's offense does scare me, but their defense is so bad.
Washington's got a pretty good defense. I think they're going to shut down Cal, and I think they're going to win very big. I think it'll be reminiscent of the Oregon game. Maybe not quite such a huge margin of victory, but I think they win this one by 30.
And they should have extra motivation from those BCS rankings. Yeah.
Alabama -8.5 at LSU. Game of the century of the month.
Of the week.
So, and take it away.
I mean, what's there to talk about? Alabama wins every week. They cover 80% of games at this point. Eddie O, Nick Saban. Lock of the week, Alabama -8.5. No explanation needed.
Dan, reach down deep into your mind and touch the inner rope within your mind. Mm-hmm. And just picture a world where Ed Orgeron could beat Nick Saban as an interim coach.
If that happens this weekend, that's the fourth horseman, and the world is over. we're in trouble, so you might want to bet an Alabama money line if you like your life.
It's a sad state of affairs when we have Alabama at LSU, and I feel like I have nothing to say. Now, part of this is, as I mentioned, busy week, limited research. However, I just feel like LSU... all of their recent success has been a little bit overhyped. They do have a slightly better quarterback. Their running game's better. They have a coach who has gotten the kids to at least try. Pretty clear that Les had overstayed his welcome there with the kids. But Alabama has just been steamrolling people. I mean, they steamrolled Tennessee. They steamrolled Texas A&M. So I like Alabama -8.5. Here's my bet of the week. Now, this is a prop bet, and it was not on the board as of Wednesday morning when I checked. I think that this game will be similar to last year in that Alabama absolutely bottles up Leonard Fournette. So my prop bet of the week is a under rushing yards for Leonard Fournette. Now, I say that having not seen what the actual number is, I would have to think it's going to be 70, 80 yards, maybe 60. I think he is held to under 50 yards in this game.
Okay, it's very possible.
I think the Alabama strategy, the Nick Saban strategy, will be the same as last year. Stack the box. Don't let Leonard Fournette get anything. And basically just dare them. You know, one-on-one coverage on the outside. I dare you, Danny Elling, throw it over us. Beat us.
It's a good point. It really is.
Come on, Purdue transfer. Come down to the SEC and throw it one-on-one. Throw a bomb against these Alabama cornerbacks. You so won't do it.
No, he won't do it. Until LSU shows me they can score in Alabama, you cannot bet against Alabama. Rule number one, enforced again. So, I have a quick Nick Saban story, I would like to say. This is courtesy of Clay Travis, who talks on Fox Sports Radio, and he has a website, Outkick the Coverage, which is fantastic, gives college football picks, talks current events like us. Anyway, this sportscaster was on the radio, and they said, hey, you have a great Nick Saban story, right? And he said, yeah. He said, then tell me. And he goes, all right, you're not going to believe this. Somehow I got invited to Nick Saban's house. And they're like, wow, how'd that happen? He's like, well, there's a guy who I know who's really famous, and he got me in. I'm like, and they're like, who is it? He said, Tim Tebow. So him and Tebow go to Saban's house, and they go really early in the morning, like 8, 9 in the morning. They show up at the house, and his wife lets him in. He goes, oh, yeah, Nick's upstairs. He'll be down in a second. Nick comes down. His hair is all a mess, just wearing just like normal T-shirt, you know, gym clothes. And they're like, hey, Nick, how are you? What are you up to? And he's like, I do the same thing every day. And they go, what do you do every day, Nick? And he goes, I play golf in the morning, which I just did, and I come home, and I go hop in that pond over there, and I take a bath. And they go, really? And he goes, yep. And he hands them each a bar of soap and goes, come on, let's go. So the sports reporter guy, Tim Tebow and Nick Saban, go to this pond. And they go, and they all line up, and they all decide to jump in at the same time. It's like a 30-foot drop. And the sports reporter goes, somehow I'm in the middle. Saban's on my left, and Tim Tebow's on the right. And this guy's got a really thick Southern accent, so, you know.
Laughing because I've heard this story, actually. But yeah, I'll let you say it for the listeners.
So they all kind of hop off, and it was a little uncoordinated. And the sportscaster guy lands on top of Nick Saban in the pond. And for a minute there, he thought Saban was really injured. You know, he's the Alabama football coach. You forget how old that guy is. You don't want to fall on him. He's like, I thought for a minute the whole state of Alabama was literally going to kill me and not let me leave the state. So that's just a hilarious story that Nick Saban hops in a pond every day in the summer in his lake house in Georgia and hops in with a bar of soap and takes a bath. That's just an unbelievable life. Like, you coach college football for Alabama, and then you're like, I wonder what Nick Saban's doing, like, in May. And you're, oh, there he is. He's in the pond. Hi, Nick. Hey. So anyway, great story. Just want to say that real quick. Take Alabama. Enjoy the game. SEC forever.
If you had to make a pick, how much longer do you think Saban will go?
5 more years.
And how many national championships do you think he'll have by the time he retires?
How many does he have now?
He has 4.
7.
So 2 more, but this year is looking like a strong one.
Well, yeah, this one counts for 5, and then 2 more in the next 5 years.
Okay.
I'm already counting this one. I don't know. Until further, I'm not going to bet against him.
anything can happen, but they are certainly the favorite going forward. All right, so that's our football talk. We have a few minutes left, and then we have to wrap up. Anything you would like to talk about, Dan? I have, in traditional take-the-points fashion, by traditional fashion, I mean what we've done the last 3 weeks.
Traditional.
I have put together two topics that I could talk about, and I'll let you pick. But first, if you've got anything football or otherwise you'd like to get into.
No, I have nothing going on. There was a slight, I'd like to talk about Halloween for 1 minute. Even more than ever now, there's a push to make Halloween the last weekend of the month on a Saturday. Better for the parents. Makes sense for the parents. I disagree. It's all about the kids. It was great to wear outfits to school. The parents can suck it up for one freaking night and go outside for 3 hours instead of going to their stupid spin class. Go out there for the kids. Keep it the way it is. If I have one more person tell me it's got to be moved to Saturday, I will give them this rant. I can't take it anymore. Leave Halloween alone, people. I love how it's on a random day every year.
Dan Partridge, childless Dan Partridge, all about the kids.
Yeah, I'm more about the kids than anybody else that I know. And it's just, it really annoys me when they're like, can we have this on Saturday? I'm like, you don't even like your children. You don't like your kids. You don't need to pretend anymore. It was just like having a fucking accessory. Shut up. It drives me nuts. Sorry.
My daughter is 2 months old, so I'm really not at the point where I am involved in the, you know, I'm just trying to keep her fed and clothed at this point, so I'm not into the activities quite yet. But from what I gather and what I've seen, you're definitely right that the kid has become more of an accessory than they were in the past. Like, they have to, the parents are still all about their own life when they have a kid.
All of it. It's you know, and it's just kind of how the world is in 2016, where, you know, it's really hard for, you know, old school traditional one person works and all that kind of stuff. But even little stuff, I mean, I understand, you know, everyone's life's complicated. Working in the restaurant biz for so many years, I see countless examples of parents, you know, mistreating their kids. You know, I've worked in really nice places where people would sit down, order a bottle of wine, and their kids would be sitting next to them, and they would put headphones on them and have an iPad. And I'm like, these kids are going to grow up and hate you someday, and you're going to wonder to know why, and this is going to be the reason, because you made them watch cartoons instead of actually teaching them how to interact and listen to other people and take everything in and learn, because you wanted to talk about your stupid career that's not important at all. But what do I know? I don't have any children, so don't take it from me.
I will respectfully say that since I've had my daughter, the one thing I've learned is trying not to judge what other parents do, even if it seems like something I would never want to do, because you never know what the circumstances were. Like, the kid could have been screaming all day up till that point. So I've become more, supportive of other parents who I previously would have said were doing something stupid. Now I have my own kid now, so I kind of don't have time to worry about other people's kids.
But I feel like if you're a new mother or father, you should be able to go to the hospital for your first 6 months and get whatever drugs you want. No questions asked. Just everything's on the table. You just be like, I need a little bag of weed and then something for this pain in my left shoulder. And they'll go, okay. And they'll hand that to you, and you're going to go home, and you'll be a better parent. There should be a six-month everything goes drug rule. I think you'll agree.
Sort of like the purge, yeah. Colon parenting.
Yeah. And like, you know, even if it's your last week in the 6 months and you really want to stock up, we're okay with that too.
I like that idea. I'm lucky. My daughter's been good so far. The only one I would need would be caffeine.
Okay, perhaps we got that.
Perhaps if I could just get it in some sort of pill form instead of having to drink a whole venti coffee, that might help. One thing interesting, we're off topic here, but one interesting thing I learned about Halloween this year is that the country, America, the country that we currently reside in,
US and A,
yes, spent $8.3 billion on Halloween this year. That is an average of $83 a person.
Now, that seems too high. That seems too high.
That seems very high.
It seems like a couple people are screwing that up. I know LeBron had a big blowout at his house, and he spent more than $87 because I saw photos. But that still doesn't offset the kids. You have to wear trash bag outfits, and you're a spooky ghost. So, you know, I don't know. It seems a little high to me. I think that figure's inflated.
What is the most money you've ever spent on Halloween?
That's a good question, Tom.
What was your most elaborate costume, either as a child or as an adult?
Senior year of college, me and four friends went as the Village People, and I had an elaborate chief outfit that involved feathers and, like, real makeup and some other stuff. So probably the YMCA, or sorry, the Village People, aka the YMCA outfit. Who are we kidding?
Dan, you're lucky that was pre-iPhone, pre-Twitter. That's racist, man.
I know, exactly. Speaking of, real quick, of Native American racism, there was a Game 6 of the World Series last night in Cleveland. Fox decides to cut in to a crowd shot of the last player alive from the Cleveland World Series team in 1946, and he's wearing the jacket with the most racist Indian depiction of all time. Like, it's a crooked nose, like it's like Wizard of Oz, and like a red skin. It's, please look it up. You're like, can somebody tell him not to wear that? I mean, I know it was 1 year after World War II, but oh, you gotta love this stuff. Like, how does this slip through the cracks in this day and age? I love it. And hate it, obviously, but still love it at the same time because
yeah,
it's just
love
unintentional
it.
Comedy on the highest level.
I know what you're saying. We're using the word love it in a metaphorical sense. We're both from upstate New York. We've seen all the anti-Native American signs throughout our life. Native Americans, they are quietly one of the most... they face some of the most racism in the whole country, quietly, because they're not in all regions. What was I going to say?
I'm not sure.
I've lost my train of thought. Anyway, that's too much money to spend on Halloween. Oh, I know what I was going to say. We always hear about the economy being horrible. And yet Halloween spending, Christmas spending, all the spending for each holiday keeps going up every single year. I feel like if the economy really is so horrible, that's the one place we might want to start cutting, like just buying Snickers and like wreaths and stuff. That's a good place to cut back.
Yeah, but
get your shit together, America.
It's never going to stop.
This is our election preview, Dan.
Oh, it's just going to get worse. Like, people think this is the worst election and can't get worse.
Nope.
It's only going to get worse. You don't get it. We're going to be begging for this election in 12 years, going, God, remember when we had two qualified candidates in Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump?
Remember when we had a experienced woman and a strong businessman? Now it's Jaden Smith versus Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be Kurt Cobain's kid running for the left against, like, Jack White is going to be a racist from the South all of a sudden with a big beard. Like,
wait, Jack White the singer or just some guy named Jack White?
Either one. It doesn't matter. Probably the singer. That's what I'm going for.
Francis Bean Cobain versus Kurt Schilling.
I know. Seriously.
So that leads us to our parting shot, Dan. Because it is election season, we're taping on a Wednesday. 6 days from now, we'll have a new president. Unless something goes terribly awry, or the world will cease to exist, one of the two. But either way, this is our last podcast before the election and possibly ever. I decided my parting shot will be election themed, and I'll let you pick which one you want. The first one is a serious message about voting, non-comical. It is about write-in votes. And the second one, all I'll say is it is Kanye 2020. So, Dan, I have a feeling I know which one you're going to pick, but I'll let you pick it.
Easy pick, Kanye. Let's go.
All right. Here's what I'll say about Kanye. And I'll try to – I'm totally winging this. I wrote down like two things. But this is a theory I've been thinking about, and I'll try to do it justice here in a short amount of time. So Donald Trump is running as the Republican. He's, you know, unlike, I want to make this, I don't want to demean other candidates when I do this. Donald Trump, let's say, is unlike any other candidate in the past. People say it's like sort of crazy that he's running. And the analogy I hear the most is it's basically like if Kanye West ran, you know, Trump is running. We might as well have Kanye West run. I was thinking about it. Here is why I believe Kanye would actually be a better president than Donald Trump and many others. I'm not saying he'd be a good president. I'm just saying he may be better than anybody running in 2016. So, personality. He came from almost nothing, and he has gone on to great success. Unlike, say, a Donald Trump who started with, you know, his small $15 million loan, Kanye completely self-made. Came from struggling south side of Chicago. He understands the tough, you know, one of the biggest problems facing our country right now is the struggles in low-income neighborhoods. And you could even extend that to like rural white neighborhoods. Kanye comes from these like poor areas and he knows the struggles they face firsthand. And he's ascended out of them. So he also knows sort of like what you have to do to get beyond that situation. He's also been successful in multiple industries, music, fashion, reality shows, general jackassery. He's excelled in everything. I also believe I won't just rest on my laurels though with this personality. I have a few issues I wrote down where I believe Kanye is actually better on the issues than the current people running. Rising cost of college. As addressed in the lyrics of All Falls Down, Kanye has been talking for 10 to 12 years about the price of college and how it's diminishing returns and how you don't really get what you pay for anymore. None of the main candidates this year are addressing this in a way that Kanye is. Also in All Falls Down, Kanye talks about the pitfalls of capitalism. We all know Hillary Clinton is tied to the banks and is, you know, extremely pro-capitalism. I feel like Kanye has a better outlook on materialism than Hillary and than Trump too. Jesus Walks talks about his faith and how his faith is more important than his success. We talk about the evangelical vote. Well, only one of the candidate, well, I'm calling Kanye a candidate. None of the candidates said anything close to what's in Jesus Walks. The privately owned prison industry. None of the candidates are addressing that in an adequate manner this year. Kanye was one of the first famous people on board with the problem of privately owned prisons, as addressed in the second verse of New Slaves. Please go there for further reference. Structural racism, Black Skinhead, many other songs, Power, pretty much his whole catalog. He has addressed structural racism in a way that none of the candidates running today have. This doesn't all have to be progressive issues. Men's rights, Dan, an important issue to some people. Blood on the Leaves, all about the unfair way that women take advantage of men in the divorce industry. Kanye, out front on that issue. In a time when Hillary and Trump are sycophants and go for power, Kanye says no one man should have all that power. So he's better. He'd be better for things like term limits and limited powers of the office. And then I threw this one in. Mr. Gary Johnson doesn't understand anything about the Middle East as he's repeatedly failed to answer questions. Kanye's Middle East knowledge is so extensive that he knows they put the pussy in the sarcophagus.
That is correct. Well said.
Most importantly, I think Kanye West's song that sums it up and his campaign slogan in 2020, Kanye West, never let you down.
Bravo, Zeev. Great job. You've come a long way. We've come a long way. Kanye's come a long way. I'm very happy right now.
Again, I don't want to say that he's a great presidential candidate in a nation of 350 million. We should be able to find someone better. But when you compare him to the kind of people we're getting now, I do not feel like Kanye should be such a joke.
Completely agree.
Give Kanye a chance.
I love what I hear.
Anything you want to add before we leave?
If he wins, then Kim Kardashian's first lady, right? I mean, that's...
Yep.
If they're still together, wow.
Well, that she'll either be... They'll be divorced or she'll be sacrificed by that point. But theoretically, you're correct.
Good point. Although people would just vote just to have her as the first lady. Like, he'll get 100 million votes just for that. She's going to be like, I'll be naked on the White House lawn taking photos every Sunday. Just vote for Kanye. Okay. It's going to happen. Like, if this... Be the best slash worst prediction of all time. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, it's funny. My other parting shot that you could have picked was basically going to be me telling people why they shouldn't do write-in votes. But now I've completely changed my mind. I will be writing in Kanye West for president 2016.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the last Take the Points podcast of all time. For 6 days before the world ends, you can follow Dan Partridge on the brand new Take the Points Facebook page.
Oh, that's right. I am updating it. I might actually put a video up next week of me driving into the voting booth, blasting Kanye around all the old people just to set the tone. So look for that to be posted this week.
And I'll be posting... I'll be posting a video of me in my nuclear bunker after the world is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of Twinkies, a lot of canned goods. I think there are some interesting things. Maybe I'll see how many Twinkies I can eat in one sitting.
You will be in your underground lair looking through a periscope live on Periscope. It's going to happen to be able to see above ground because it's contaminated.
Just to bring it all back, I'm pretty sure that will be an episode of Black Mirror Season 4. I'll be the only one left to watch it, but it'll be
that's
good.
That's right. Looking through a Periscope on Periscope. It's coming.
TakeThePoints.net, iTunes, Stitcher.
New
Dan
Times.
Partridge, everybody. Shout out to Dan Partridge. Hey, shout out to DJ Tig. We don't thank him enough lately.
Well, that is correct. And he's playing here on Friday night, first Friday, and I'll be downtown checking that out. So if all my Zero Phoenix listeners want to do a meet and greet, you can find me downtown. It's Friday night wearing probably black pants and a German soccer t-shirt, as usual.
All right, there you go. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Adios. Take the point.